Well, good morning. Can you hear me? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's an honor and it's a humbling experience to be before you this morning. Of course, my precious family, your family is also here with us. I'm going to ask my wife to get up and greet the church. Normally we translate and we do this bilingual, but today I feel that God's going to speak to us directly. But I just want her to get up, greet everybody.
The first thing I noticed was Martin wearing a microphone. That makes me giggle because he doesn't like microphones, but it's great to be with you all. We're all family. We know each other, so thank you for having us. It's great to gather, right? And we look forward to hosting you guys at Westside as well. Amen. Love you all.
Amen. Now, I'm a little discombobulated when it's when it comes to walking, talking, and walking at the same time. That's why I hate microphones. And even though I'm wearing one today, if I trip, I'll be okay. You know, I'll just, you know, my ego will be bruised a little, but we'll be all right. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like microphones. Even if they're wireless, I'll still trip over them. But it's okay. I want to thank Craig and RC for this opportunity that we have to come and share the word with you this morning. And it's something that I look forward to doing. I love getting into the Word. I love reading the Word. I love researching. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's time consuming, but I think at the end of the day, it's worth it. I always ask God for confirmation of His Word. And all of worship, and even with the prophetic word that Craig released, it just confirms the word that God has for us this morning. And I'm thankful for that. In talking to Craig earlier this week, I told him, look, I haven't received any prophetic words. I may come with no prophetic words. But it's okay. Y'all flow on that a little bit better than us anyways. And it's not a competition. So I have nothing to prove. I'm just going to go. I'm going to do what Holy Spirit tells us. If prophetic comes, it'll come. If healing comes, healing will come. Whatever Holy Spirit wants to do this morning is what we want to take place this morning. I have nothing to prove to you. I know who I am in Christ. He called me. He knew me before some of you knew me. And this morning, if you don't know me, you're not missing out on anything. But if you don't know Christ, you're missing out on it all. Amen? Amen. And I'm just grateful again to be here. Craig, thank you. Thank you for fathering us spiritually. I'm telling you, I get a call from him at least once a week. How are you? Are you okay? How's your spirit? How was service? How's the church? And there's very few people that will call you to see how you're doing. There's very few people that really care. There's people that will call not because they care. People will call because they want to know your business. They want to know your weakness. But Craig has been a spiritual father to me. I won't tell him to his face, but, you know. Oh, he's already here. Never mind. But it means a lot to us. And this morning, I'm going to take as much time as Holy Spirit gives us. And this morning, I believe there's going to be an impartation of faith. There's going to be healing. And one of the things that I want to break is something that growing up in the church was embedded in us. And the way we were taught to evangelize and to bring people into church was telling them how broken they were. Not everybody is broken. Not everybody needs fixing. Some just need a little fine-tuning. Some may need a lot of healing. Some may not need healing. Some just need love. Some need to be accepted. Some just need to know who their identity is in Christ. And this morning, I hope that we all know who we are in Christ. I pray that if you are broken, that by the time service is over, you're healed. That if you have suffered trauma in life, that you don't resort back to, I am this way because of the trauma. Trauma doesn't define you. Healing does. Wholeness does. Jesus Christ does. And the Holy Spirit empowers you, comforts you, and will push you on through. Amen? I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 42. And when you have it, I want you to shout amen at Westside. I tell them, I expect them to go bananas, to go crazy, to shout, to jump, to dance. When you open the Word, and you might say, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this is the Word of God. This is what's going to change you. This is what's going to transform you. This is what's going to heal you. This is what's going to go into your heart and not come back void. It's going to go into your mind, and it's going to change your logical way of thinking. So if you don't get excited about that, you're missing it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let me get a 42. I was at 41. Isaiah 42, verse 1 says, Behold, my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. We're going to pause there real quick. And although this is not where we're going to really talk much about, but I want you to understand one thing. Craig was talking about pastors, normal pastors, and pastors are important. Pastors take care of the local church. Pastors are anointed just as much as the prophet, as much as the apostle, as much as anybody else in the ministry. And that's very important. But it is the apostles that not only take care of the local church, but their concern is the region, a bigger area. And I think that's why Craig and I get along real well, because he is not so much concerned about RC. He is. He cares. He loves RC. But he's thinking of the bigger picture. How is RC? How is Westside? How is every other church in this area affecting the region? And one of the things that we all have in common, just like Jesus, is that God has already put His Spirit in every single one of us. That's a seal. And some of this may be repetitive to some of you, to Westside. I know we've talked somewhat about this. But it's kind of like when a car is manufactured. It has that stamp. It's a Ford. It's a Mercedes. It's a, a Honda. It's a Toyota, a Nissan, whatever it is. It already comes with that emblem, with that logo that says who they are. God has already poured His Spirit upon you. He sealed you. When you came to Christ, you were sealed with Holy Spirit. The manifestation of Holy Spirit, it's a different thing, and we'll talk about that at some other time. And you should know what that is. But then it talks about how, just like He put His Spirit in His Son Jesus, it says He will not call out or shout aloud, nor make His voice heard in the street. Verse 3. A broken reed, some of your versions may say a bruised reed, He will not break off. And a dimly burning wick He will not extinguish. He will not harm those who are weak and suffering. He will faithfully bring forth justice. We're going to stop there. At Westside, we talked about the dimly burning wick. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. But I want to talk about the broken reed or the bruised reed this morning. Because I believe that's where a lot of us are. Why? Because Satan doesn't want us to do what God has called us to do. What God has ordained in your life to do, the enemy is fighting it 24/7. That's why every time you choose to start a class, to do something, to go to church, all hell breaks loose. Saturday mornings, your kids will wake up at the crack of dawn at 5:30, 6 in the morning, 6:30. It's all right. They're ready to go. Wake them up during the week to go to school. They don't want to. Don't mention Sunday. It's 9:30 and you're trying to get to church and they're nowhere to be awake. You don't have an issue waking up on Saturdays early morning. It's just natural. It happens. Come Sunday morning, you're just too tired. You can't do it. And that's where the spirit and the flesh are always at war with each other. Why? Because the flesh wants to rest. And the Spirit says you need to get up. But I love what it says. A broken reed He will not break off. When I was researching this, and a few weeks ago I heard a preaching on all of this, all these four verses in chapter 42, it really touched me. Because when we think of a broken reed or a bruised reed, again, like I said, I'm not saying we're all broken. Some of us have been fixed. Some of us feel like we've been put together with duct tape. But as you go through life, you're going to be bruised. It's almost like the fruit, the vegetables, and the produce aisle. When people go and grab the pears and they really just squish on them, or the avocados, they get those dark spots. Ooh, I don't want to buy that avocado. It's all mushy. It's going to be dark. It's not that it's bad. It's that it's been bruised. Because somebody once told somebody, if you touch an avocado and it's soft, it's ready. Well, some people don't know how to measure their strength. Now you got a bruised avocado. Now you got something that you can't use. Likewise with tomatoes, with, you know, any, you name it. I don't remember what I was doing or watching, and then this ad came out. And now they're selling these vegetables that are bruised for you to cook with so they don't have to be thrown away. And a lot of times we feel that because we're bruised and we've been done wrong and we've, you know, people have backstabbed you or people have walked out of your life or people have talked about you or friends have betrayed you or whatever the case may be in your life. You've experienced trauma. You've gone through health situations. You feel like Joseph. You've been betrayed. You feel like Job. You've lost everything. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. At some point, you're going to feel that you've been bruised. You felt that way. And I know there's many musicians and guitar players and, you know, drum players and piano players. And I see that we have an electric keyboard. But back when we had the upright pianos and the baby grands and the grand pianos, what would happen when those things would get out of tune? You mean we don't throw them away? Pastor, who would want to throw a $10,000 piano away? Exactly. Who wants to throw away a $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 guitar because it's out of tune? I mean, if you have that kind of money, see me after the service. Amen. I'll pick up your broken guitars, your untuned guitars, not broken. If they're untuned, I'll pick them up. But we don't toss them. So a lot of times, bruised or broken doesn't necessarily mean that. It also means out of tune. A lot of times we just feel we're out of tune. We're walking with a little limp. Where do you get the out of tune? Well, see, the children of Israel used to make flutes out of these reeds. But they were so delicate, just like you're delicate. Pastor, I'm strong and nobody better mess with me. You're nothing but a big teddy bear. Get over it. You could be tough out in the audience. It's fine. God gets a hold of you. You're going to cry ugly like the rest of us. It's okay. Nothing to be ashamed of. But at the end of the day, these reeds were so fragile that they would play them, but after playing them for so long, they'd crush them. What do you do with a crushed flute? You can't tune it. They probably didn't have crazy glue back then, much less duct tape. So what do? You throw them away. What else does a bruised reed talk about? Well, a reed was anything that could give wheat. You could see it that way. We're called to give fruit. But what happens when a reed is broken? Can it give fruit? It's broken. Eventually, it's going to die off. And many times we feel that because we're bruised, we're broken, we're out of tune, we're out of kilter, we're out of touch, that we feel that God is just going to grab us and toss us because we're worthless. That's the biggest lie the enemy has been whispering in some of your ears. Oh, you're bruised. Oh, you're broken. Can you really forgive? Then the next big lie Satan brings to your life, well, you can forgive, but you can't forget. My question is, if you can't forget, have you forgiven? Pastor, but there's bruises and there's signs that I was hurt. Jesus heals those wounds. But will you allow him to? I think one of the issues that we have is we tuck those things deep down in our heart and we say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm healed. God, I release all this. Heal me. But we don't really let God heal us. We don't really go through that mourning period. We don't really cry things out. I'll ask you, and I've always been asking people the same thing. When was the last time you cried in the presence of God? Pastor, I don't cry. Maybe you're whole. But if you're not crying before the Lord, and I'm not saying to do like the new converts, every Sunday they're giving their life to Christ because they don't know what it means to give their life to Christ. Who wants to give it? I do. Well, you just gave your life last Sunday. Well, I want to give it again this Sunday. I want to give it. I don't think this is an everyday thing, but as you go through life, as you go through experiences, as you go through trauma, as you go through bruising and breaking, you have to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, I give you my brokenness, make me whole. For 10 years plus, I've been saying this, all we want to do is slap a Band-Aid on it. Ah, it'll be all right. It's not going to be okay. If that wound has to be cleansed out, if there's debris in there, what's going to happen? You're going to get infection. It's not going to be good for you. So why not rip the Band-Aid, let the thing bleed out, let it cleanse out, let Holy Spirit come and cleanse it, let the Word cleanse it out. It's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to hurt, but in the long run, it's going to hurt less. Oh, we just put a bigger Band-Aid on it. And we'll just put a bigger Band-Aid on it. And we just put a bigger Band-Aid on it and a bigger Band-Aid on it. And okay, God, maybe today, but no, not today. I'm ready to give you this, but I'm not ready. I'm ready to be freed, but I really don't want to forgive. I really want to make things right, but I'm not ready just today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month. And it's been 3 years, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years, it's been 15 years, it's been 20, it's been a lifetime for some. And then we wonder why some of the things that God has spoken over our lives have not come to pass. And you say, I keep waiting on God. And God says, I'm waiting on you to heal. Well, does that mean He can't use me if I'm broken? I'm not saying He can't. But what I'm saying is, there's a better way. There's a better life. There's a better peace. And His name is Jesus. And He's been anointed to do these things in your life. But when you think that you have a better way, when you think that you have better timing, when you think that you have a better 10 or 12 step program that'll help you through this, it's not. The true solution is coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, here's my brokenness. Your word says that you're not going to throw me away. You're not going to cast me out. So in my brokenness, whatever I need to do to heal, I'm willing to be healed. I'm willing to cry this one out. I'm willing to have all those raw feelings and emotions come back one last time so that they could be ripped out, yanked out from the deepest, innermost part of me to where I can be healed. Why do we have people suffering with an orphan spirit? They feel they've been rejected all their life. Are you a new convert? If you're new to church and you're dealing with that, that's one thing. But if you've been in church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and you're still dealing with this, something has to change. And it can't go on another week. It cannot go on another month. It cannot go on another year. Many men sitting in church suffering with identity issues. Oh boy, there he goes. How many men have been abused as children and they're sitting in church struggling with identity, struggling with many other things because they don't know how to heal because nobody's fathered them and said, this is how you heal. Nobody's taken the time to talk to them and say, that spirit of lust you're dealing with, that spirit of pornography or that pornography you're dealing with, or whatever it is that you're dealing with because you have trauma in your life, you've been bruised, you've been broken, but there's hope. God will not throw you away. So why sit in church 52 Sundays a year in shame and in guilt pretending everything's okay when we're bruised and we're broken and we're wondering if God still loves us? Whoa, pastor, slow down. That's tough. It's the truth. Women dealing with issues. Rejection. Identity. Because society tells you how you should dress, what you should look like, what makeup brand to wear, what clothing brand to wear, where to go shop. And if you don't do these things, you're a nobody. And you're sitting in church feeling inferior to everybody else, forgetting that you're sealed with Holy Spirit, forgetting that you're a child of God, you're a daughter of God, you're a son of God, and that He has a higher calling for you, but you're hung up on these things. We hate being lonely. Teenagers wanting to be accepted. Our children wanted to be accepted by friends, accepted by the sports department, by the coach. But have they accepted Christ? Have we made sure they're accepted into the kingdom? Pastor, you're speaking at the wrong place this morning. No, let's be honest with ourselves. What has been that one thing that's been festering and pestering inside of your heart for the longest? What is that thing that brings shame to your life every single day you look into the mirror? What's that one thing that disgusts you when you know and you said, Lord, I've prayed about this and I said, Lord, if you take this away from me, I'll never do this again. But every week, every month, every year, every season, or at certain times of the year, you're doing the same thing. You're going into these cycles and you don't understand why. It's because you've been bruised and you haven't been healed. That's a strong word. Well, I told you, I'm here to build your faith this morning. I'm here so that you don't come another Sunday and sit in shame and in guilt, but you come another Sunday celebrating liberty and celebrating life and celebrating deliverance and celebrating healing and celebrating that you know who your Father is and that your Father will not be embarrassed or ashamed of you, but that He's waiting for you with open arms to heal you, to love on you, and to make it better. It may sound like a message of condemnation. It may sound like, oh, he's just putting shame and guilt. No, like Craig says, when you're fathering people, you want the best of them. And sometimes it means you got to ask some difficult questions to get to the bottom of things so that people can heal, so that people can move forward. But we become such good negotiators. Well, God, but if you do this, I'll do this. You know what? God doesn't have to do anything else. God already sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. That is redemption of sins. God sent His Son, and by the stripes of Jesus Christ, the stripes on His back, you and I are already healed. Jesus went to hell and took the keys. That's deliverance. That gets me excited. I always say Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own house. That should build your faith. So why do you listen to somebody that's roaming the streets that don't have a place to live because he doesn't? Why does he have more power and authority over your life? When he shouldn't, because we're bruised. Because we sit in church, but we don't know who Jesus is. We have Craig's perspective or Sean's perspective or somebody else's perspective of who Jesus or who God is, but we don't have a personal relationship with him. Therefore, we don't know him. We want our children, we want our spiritual children to come to us when you're in trouble, not run away from us and hide. What was the first thing Adam and Eve did when they were out in the garden after they had sinned? God was calling. He said, Adam, where are you? Our nature is to hide. Our nature is to hide the ugly. Oh, you don't know, but I've been abused. Oh, you don't know, but this happened. Oh, you don't know, but I've been betrayed. But I'm so smart and so intellectual that I shouldn't have been betrayed. So I want to hide these things. See, money is not a cure for it all. There's nothing wrong with having money. But money will not buy you healing. Money will really not buy you an extra day. So what we want this morning is for your faith to increase. We want you to understand that God is a loving Father, that it doesn't matter how ugly it is. You've discovered, like Adam and Eve, I'm naked. There's nothing I could hide from you. God said, how do you know you're naked? See, a lot of times, we disqualify ourselves from the race. And in reading Scripture, there's many that have already gone to heaven. There's many that have already passed on from this life. Does that mean we stop believing in Jesus because somebody else made it before we did? No. This race is not about who starts the race. This race is not like an earthly race. It's not first, second, and third place. This race means you go, you start running, you walk, you crawl, you drag yourself, whatever you have to do to get to the end. And you will win once you get to the end. Don't worry about first place. Don't worry about last place. Just worry about getting there. But we disqualify ourselves because, well, I fell already and somebody went ahead of me. Oh, I've messed up already. Oh, I let my ego get in the way. I let my pride get in the way. I let religion get in the way. I let this get in the way. I let that get in the way. Well, you know what? It's time to let those things go. It's time to be healed. It's time to be made whole. How are we to impact a region if we can't let God impact our lives? How can we change the world if we can't even allow God to change us? We want to preach about a God that changes, but we don't allow Him to change us. We speak about a God that heals, but we don't allow Him to heal us. We talk about a God that restores, but we don't allow God to restore us. When I read that He will not cast away, He will not throw away a bruised reed, it tells me that He wants relationship. It tells me that He wants intimacy. This whole new thing, oh, we're partners. God instituted marriage, not partners. Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't met you. Who are you? Oh, I'm so-and-so's partner. What do you mean, partner? That's a nice way of saying we're living in sin. Again, I'm not bringing condemnation, shame, or guilt, but if we're children of God, why are we in a partner relationship? Because we love the intimacy, but we don't want compromise. We don't want commitment. God is committed to healing you. God is committed to restoring you. God is committed to saving you. Pastor, I don't need saving. I'm fine. Well, good for you. But I know I need saving. And because He sent His Son Jesus, I know I'm saved. And because I know what He's done in my life personally, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm called. I know that I'm chosen. I know my identity. And it may sound a little bit arrogant or proud, but no, I know who I am in Christ. And until we know who we are in Christ, we're going to continue to be bruised. We're going to continue to be broken. We're going to continue to live in shame and guilt. Why? Because nobody wants to ask the difficult questions. Nobody wants to take responsibility and accept the fact that, yes, things happened. Pastor, you don't understand. It's embarrassing. What's embarrassing is us being in church not producing fruit because we're broken. But what this is saying is that He will restore the broken so that broken reed can once again give fruit, give the wheat, give what it's supposed to give off. The Word of God says, you shall know them by what? How well they speak? How well they act in public? How good they dress? How much money they have in their bank account? How well they play? How well they carry themselves? No, it says, by their fruits you shall know them. Are you carrying fruits of repentance? Are you carrying fruits of healing, of deliverance in your life? And a lot of times, it doesn't have to be a big event and, you know, altar calls and all. It could be in the privacy of your home. Self-healing, self-deliverance. This is something that you can do on your own. This is something you can do this morning. This is something you can do this very day. And I urge you this morning, don't let another day go by and you continue to live in fear, in guilt, in shame. Because the prophetic word this morning is just that, that He will not throw you away. The prophetic word is that you're already healed. It may not be manifested in the physical just yet, but in the next few minutes it will. See, because through Christ, it's already done. Maybe it's not yet manifested, but it's already done. You have lost loved ones. They're already saved. It may not have happened in the physical, but it already happened when Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. You may have an illness physically, a sickness, a disease. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you've already been made whole. It may not have been manifested in your body just yet, but you've already been made whole. So it's there for you this morning. I'm going to ask that you come to your feet this morning. And I'm going to ask that right there where you're at, you bow your heads and close your eyes. And a lot of times we want to wait for instructions. Okay, Pastor, I'm doing this. What do I do next? Well, the next thing I want you to do is listen to Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit asking you to do? I know this has been a very in-your-face word. My goal is not to shame you. It's not to guilt you. But my end goal is that you're healed, that you're saved, that you're delivered, that what you need, God gives you this morning. It'd be easy for me to make an altar call. It'd be easy for me to give you commands and instructions. But this morning I want you to be obedient to Holy Spirit. If Holy Spirit tells you to come up here, there'll be people that will pray with you. RC, you know who you are. Wes, how do you know who you are? You need healing. Whatever Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do. If He tells you to come up here, you come up here. Somebody will pray for you. Whatever you need this morning, it'd be a waste of time for us to come and not get what we need. It'd be another Sunday wasted if we're not whole, if we're not healed. And the reason why I'm doing it this way is because of the sensitivity of what we talked about. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you do have trauma. Maybe you are broken. Maybe you're bruised. That's nobody else's business. That's between you and God, but God wants to heal you this morning. So I'm going to ask for one thing. I want everybody to raise your hands, and all you're doing is just saying, Lord, I surrender to you. That's it, nothing else. You're not admitting guilt. You're not admitting anything else. It's a sign of surrender. Jesus, I surrender to you this morning. Jesus, I surrender to you this morning. Just repeat that with me. Jesus, I surrender to you this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. I yield to you. And as the worship team worships, I want you to be obedient to Holy Spirit. As Holy Spirit instructs us, we'll pray for some people. But if you really feel you need to come to these altars, you come. Whatever you need.